Today we close on behalf of the Sachin and the Interim Minister and the congregation of Londonderry Free Presbyterian Church. We want to welcome you to the evening service. Again, my name is the Reverend Geoffrey Abraham from the church in Mullman, and I'm here today to record a little message. Of course, we would rather be with you this evening, but because of the coronavirus and the lockdown of the churches, that is not possible. But we thank God that we can record and we can bring the message to you by this means of technology. And we trust that wherever you may be this evening, that you will be blessed through the word. They've asked me to give a word of testimony this evening. I just want to leave one verse with you found in Matthew chapter 6, the verse 33. It's a little verse that I learned whenever I was young and in the children's meetings, but I didn't realize the fullness of it throughout life. If only I had it, maybe things would have been different. If I'd only have taken it on board, then I wouldn't have made the mistakes that I did. That little verse says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, before we come to bring a word of testimony, I want first of all to bow briefly in a word of prayer. 56 years of age, it's hard to put 56 years into the space of approximately 30 minutes. So let's bow briefly in a word of prayer and ask God's blessing upon the testimony this evening and God's help that he alone might be glorified. So let's unite our hearts in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee that in the evening of thy day, Lord, we can gather around again, whatever means it may be, at home or wherever. We can gather around, Lord, and we can listen to the word of God. And Lord, we can even listen this evening to what thou hast done for this minister and for this preacher. And, O God, we do pray that even this night that thou will give us help. Lord, as we speak of what Christ has done for us and what Christ means to us, O God, we pray that you'll encourage others, Lord, who are maybe in the midst of struggles and trials. O God, for those that are not saved, Lord, we do pray this evening, Lord, that thou will come and speak to their hearts. Save them by thy grace, we pray thee. Lord, for those who are cold and backslidden in heart or in practice, Lord, we pray that they too this evening would hear the voice of God and would return from the far off fiends. And O God, that we get right with God again this day. Lord, we thank thee for thy goodness with us, for being with us throughout this day, for keeping us safe and well. We do indeed pray, Lord, even in the midst of this old coronavirus, Lord, that thou would turn the eyes of men and women back unto thee again, that we might know the intervention of God and the blessing of God upon our wee land and upon our nation. Do remember all those that are suffering in the hospital this evening through the coronavirus, Lord, or whatever other ailment that they might have. Lord, remember those who have lost loved ones for all their different reasons. O God, we pray that you would draw near. Lord, that thou would raise the sick and comfort the brokenhearted. Lord, we remember the staff of the NHS, Lord, in the hospitals. Lord, we think of those in the front line in the care homes. Lord, even for those that are serving out in the community. Lord, we pray even for teachers and schools, and Lord, for all who put themselves in that front line. Lord, we pray that even this day, Lord, that thou wouldst put a hedge about those that are wise. And Lord, those that need thee, Lord, we pray that thou wilt draw near and comfort and protect. But Lord, we commend our evening service to thee. Bless this minister, this preacher, Lord, as he comes to speak of Christ, what Christ means to him. Do bless and uplift the name of Christ this evening, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As I said in my introduction there, my name's Geoffrey Abraham, the Reverend Abraham, from our church in Mullman, just down below Zion Hills, between Zion Hills and Newton Stewart. But we're going back to the very beginning. I was born on the 15th of December, 1964. Now, just to save you any compilation, I'm 56 years of age. I was born into quite a big family. I had four brothers and four sisters. A twin sister as well. My father worked hard. We were brought up on a farm. And even though my father worked hard on the farm, we never had much of the comforts or the things of this world. And looking back on those days of little, that formed my determination. It formed my ambitions for the future. You know, we've got to remember that childhood days and the days when we're young, those are very formative years in our upbringing. Those are very formative days and years. And way back then, that formed me into the person that I am today with regards determination. And also they formed my ambitions. And I can remember going back until I was quite young. I can remember, I probably was in the teens. I just wanted to have a wife and a family. I wanted to have a good home. And I wanted to have a comfortable car. The things that we didn't have when I was just little. But away back then, I'd got off to the wrong foot, you might say. I had my ambitions, but I had got my priorities all wrong. I wanted to have the comforts of life. At that stage, I never thought about giving my life to the Lord and of serving Him. But even though we didn't have much of the things of the world, there was one thing that we did have, and that was a godly mother. And she sent us along to wherever she knew that we would hear the gospel. We weren't brought up in a Free Presbyterian church. We were brought up not only Church of Ireland. And so on a Sunday, we went to the Church of Ireland Sunday School at 3 o'clock or 3:30, whatever time it was. And then we stayed for the Church of Ireland service. Then on a Monday night, my mother was from, you might say, a Brethren background. And on a Monday evening, the Brethren, the Gospel Hall, they would send round the minibus and we would all be only too glad to get into the minibus and away to the children's meetings. And then on a Friday evening, they would send the minibus round again and we would be sent off to the Good News Club. And then whenever we got on in years, we went to the Youth Fellowship in Ulm and Geraldine Emerson's house. But then I forgot to say that on a Sunday morning, we went along to the Methodist Sunday School. Wilfred Wilson, he's now gone to be with the Lord. He was a godly man. But Wilfred would come and he would collect us in his old car and he would bring us down to the Methodist Church and he would faithfully teach us the Word of God. Better not leave the Presbyterians out or get into trouble with some. But once a year, the Presbyterian Church, Belleville Presbyterian, just outside of Lurgan, they would send for the Abrahams, because there was probably more children in the Abraham household than there was in their church. And so once a year they came and they collected us for to sing. I always loved singing. But because I visited all those different places, I knew the gospel from an early age. My mother was a godly woman, still is. My mom and dad's both doing well at 90 years of age. Doing as well as it could be expected, even though some weeks back they went down with the COVID. God was merciful and raised them up again. But I had this godly mother, and from an early age I knew the gospel. I knew the verses, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I was in no doubt that I was born in sin. And I was also a sinner by nature. But I also knew that except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so I knew that I needed to be saved. And I knew that except he repent, he shall all likewise perish. So I knew that if I was going to be saved, I needed to turn away from sin. And I needed to ask Christ as my Savior. For I knew that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But I can remember, I don't remember the date or the year, but I remember the night. I was about 11 or 12 years of age. It was, I think it was an autumn or a winter night. I was cleaning out place. I went to the Brethren and I knew about the second coming of Christ. And I was always afraid that the Lord would come and I would be left behind. And that night I could remember it well. I could take you to the spot. And I could say it was there, and about there. Oh, the old pig house is gone now. But I know I could point you to the spot and say it was in about there. And I asked the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart. I don't remember the date. But listen, folks, you don't need to know your date of birth to know that you were alive. And even so, you don't need to know the date of your conversion to know that you're saved. Thank God for that. But unfortunately, as I grew up into my teenage years, of course, stopped going to the children's meeting and eventually stopped going to the youth fellowship. and I started to backslide in heart. Now, I never drank, and I never smoked, and I never cursed. I never attended the worldly places. I never went to nightclubs or dances or anywhere like that. I never went to any places of worldly entertainment. But I was a backslider in heart. And you say, what do you mean? Well, I stopped reading the Bible. And I stopped going to the different meetings, and I rarely went out to church, and often I was too busy on the farm. As I said, we took a lot of ground, we had a lot of cattle, and we drove about in tractors at the front, the people could drive about in cars. But being busy on the farm and not going out to the house of God on any occasion hardly, I began to backslide in heart. And you know, I wonder tonight, am I speaking to someone in a similar situation like that? Maybe there's a farmer tonight, and I'm speaking to you. And maybe it's late on a Sunday evening, but you never get out to your place of worship. Oh, you're not drinking, and you're not smoking, and you're not cursing. You're not the rascal in the country. But you're not going on with God, really, are you? And you wonder why the problems in the farm. Could it be problems at home? That's more than at home, it's in here. You're not right with God. You know, that was me. After that, I started to go out to the socials. Now, the socials then were just a bit of fun. It was like the socials developed into. Went out to socials, and every now and again, we went to maybe a party in some house. It was all innocent. And at that time, we went to Portadown Car Park. It was a meeting place at the weekend, and I enjoyed myself. But like everything else, the pleasures of the world, even though we're innocent, the pleasures of those days, it soon lost its attraction. And you know, they filled the pleasures of the heart for a night. But they weren't lasting. And you know, I want to begin something more out of life. I wanted something that was lasting. I wanted something that was meaningful. I didn't want the world. But there was a void in my life, and there was a void in my heart. One night I attended a testimony meeting. My older sister Barbara, who was killed 30 years ago, she was going out with a young man out of Portadown Free Presbyterian Church. And when she was killed, she was married to Paul, they had four children. But Barbara was going out with Paul, and they invited us along to Portadown Free Presbyterian Church. It was the first time I was in the Free Presbyterian Church. And there was a special testimony that night. It was Mike Christensen, that he was a rodeo champion. And of course, that was an attraction to a farmer's son. But I remember that night we went into the church and up the stairs, right to the back seat of the gallery, like many do. But that night, the Lord spoke to me, and silently I asked the Lord back into my life again. But I never told anybody. I believed in my heart, but I never confessed with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and that was a big mistake. I was doing what the devil wanted me to do, not what God wanted me to do. I wanted to keep it quiet, I wanted to keep it to myself. You know, after that I began to attend different gospel meetings. Not yet becoming a Free Presbyterian. But soon after I was 19, I believe that the Lord began to call me into the service. But I didn't want to go. And so I started to run from the call of God. And I still wanted to hold on to my lifelong ambitions. And like Jonah, I got into a relationship. Jonah got into the ship. I got into a relationship running away from God. I was still at school at that time, and I began to go out with a young girl at school. Then at 19, I left school, and I went home to farm. That was the only thing that I ever really wanted to do, was to farm. That was in my blood. And you know, folks, God had called me, but I had put that girl, and I had put the farming, and I put my ambitions before the Lord. But God has a way of bringing us to Himself. And we can come the easy way. We can come at the Lord's command, or we can come the hard way. Well, I didn't come the easy way. God brought me the hard way. I was home, at home at 19 years of age, to farm at 21 years of age. I took analogy with cows. Whenever they came in at winter time under one roof, there was maybe 400 head of cattle, a good number of them under one roof, and went into the parlour and I couldn't stay, and the eyes closed. And the following year the chest locked up, and I knew that I couldn't remain on the farm. God took it away from me. But not only that, God took the girl away from me as well. We were 8 weeks off getting married and engaged and all, having invitations printed. But we fell out. We parted ways. Oh, it wasn't a real thing, but we just went our different ways. God put an end to that relationship as well. And folks, let me say this. Everything that I put before God, God took it away. Now, I want to say to you tonight, you be careful what you put before God. For God can very easily and very quickly take it away. But I can remember at that point that I came to the place of surrender. I knew what I had done wrong. I knew why these things were happening. And listen, folks, I was afraid to go on in the way that I was going, and I got down on my knees. And you can say I came back to the Lord again, but I surrendered my life to the Lord. That's the way I want to look at it. I surrendered my life to the Lord. And I tell you, friends, that was a glorious day. Apart from the day of salvation, the day when I surrendered my life totally and absolutely and completely unto the Lord, that was a glorious, life-changing day. You know, I knew that I needed to settle down with God. And I knew I needed to settle down after that in a gospel preaching church. And shortly after that, I began to attend Portadown Free Presbyterian Church. And then I began to get involved in God's work in whatever way I could. And I have doubt it was a cleft in those days, and I went to different churches with the cleft taking part in different meetings. God had already begun to shape me for the ministry. I didn't know it at the time, of course, but God was working in my life. But then not long after that, I can remember well the Sunday morning, sitting in Portadown Church. It was before it was renovated, and there used to be the middle aisle and the two aisles to the other side, or rows of chairs to the other side. And I can remember that there was the middle pews, and then there was the aisle, and then there was the pews, and it was about two-thirds of the way up on the right-hand side. That's where I was sitting. Man, if I could have got out that morning, I would have been out. If I had been at the back or near the front, I could have slipped out, but I couldn't get out. But God was speaking to me. And the late Dr. Ken Ivey was preaching on that text, John 15:16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. And I knew that God was calling me. You know, thankfully the Lord hadn't forsaken me or forgotten me. And this time I could do nothing else. I surrendered my life, and this time I could do nothing else but go through with God. And you know, I was afraid to do anything else. And I knew that if I rejected God this time, that I would have to live in God's second best. If I refused to go again, I knew that I would live in God's second best for the rest of my life. You know, I wonder tonight, is God calling you? You be careful what you do. For if you refuse to go, you may well have to live in God's second best, and that will be in a place of misery. But the Lord hadn't forgotten me either in another way. Remember I said that I had my ambitions when I was a young man, wanted to have a wife and my family and a car and a house and all the rest. You know, when I was 24, it was just, I think, a year and 3 months or so after the last girl and myself had parted our ways. I haven't went with anyone else. I don't believe in running about with different girls. But I was serving the Lord.
And I was sitting in the Lord, and I met Lorna, my wife. I met Lorna, and I thought that she wouldn't look at me twice, but she did. And you know, we started going out together. And I can remember a Saturday, unknown to each other, both of us were praying and seeking what God's will was for us as a couple. Was it His will for us to marry or not? That Saturday, God gave me the answer that she was the girl that God had for me. And within 2 years, on the 27th of June, 1990, we were married. Lorna, knowing that I was being called into the ministry and that's where I was going, I made sure she knew that. Still, she took me to be her husband, and I was glad to take her to be my wife. Now, just before that, when I was 26, I spoke to the Reverend Elliot, who advised me to wait a year. It was before Lorna and I were married. I went to see the Reverend Elliot, and he asked me about the circumstances. He said, "You're going with a girl." He says, "What's your plan?" Since I were getting married. He says, "Well, Jeffrey, my advice would be," he says, "well, they need to join into membership of the church. You know, that's a good thing." I'd never thought about it before. I hadn't been brought up with that teaching. And he says, "You need to join into membership of the church." So I did that. And he says, "Jeffrey, just wait for a year and see what way the Lord leads you." And he says, "Get married and try to get a few pounds together and all the rest, you know." So Lorna and I got married. We bought a little mobile home to live in to reduce the cost of living while we were going through the Bible college. The following year, I went back to the Reverend Elliot. It was 1991. I said to the Reverend Elliot, he says, "Jeffrey, take another year. Think about it. Your wife's expecting." "That's right." He says, "Take another year and think about it. You're going to have a wee family now." I never like to go against a minister, but I said, "Reverend Elliot, if I don't go, I'm afraid God will leave me behind." And just to cut the story short, he says, "Well, if that's the way you feel, Jeffrey," he says, "apply to the college and we'll take it from here." And you know, in 1991, I went into the college to train for the ministry. It was a 4-year theological course. Just can I say, those were difficult years for Lorna and myself through sickness and other things, but the Lord undertook. And the Lord provided for all of our needs. Well, after 4 years of training, I finished the college and I was duly licensed for the ministry. But whenever you're going into college, they promise you nothing going in and they promise you nothing going out. And I can remember Dr. Duke was saying one time, "The evidence of your call to the college is a call to the ministry." I came out of the college and I had to wait for the Lord to open the door. And those were days when, no doubt, the old devil, he cast doubts into my mind, was it really called? But as soon as I came out of college, I had a wee family. I had 3 children at that time. And of course, the money was done that because of college. And so I went straight back to work again as a bread man. I'd left the farm and had gone to be a bread man for 7 years. I believe the Lord was training me. And of course, Irwin's Bakery, they were glad to take me on again. And I went back into full-time work as a bread man, serving shops and at the same time, I was preaching around the different churches as God would give me opportunity. And also, in the 4th year, I had done a day's visitation for the Reverend Ferguson down in our church in Moore in Kilkeel. I continued to do that while I worked away in the bakery and preaching around churches and doing a visitation one day a week in Kilkeel. And all the while I was praying and waiting on the Lord. And that was a trying time indeed. Churches would show an interest, but someone else always got the call. And those were trying days, but the Lord's faithful. And eventually in June 1997, I received a call from the church in Auchmacloy. And you know, I had been there preaching. I had no real desire to go to Offnacloy. But that's where the Lord wanted me to be. Even before they met to call, the Lord had told me, I want you to go down to Offnacloy. And whenever they gave me the call, that was only a confirmation of what God had called me already to do, the direction that he had given me. And believe it or not, on Friday the 13th of June, 1997, I'm not superstitious about dates and days. Friday the 13th of June, 1997, we were ordained and installed as a minister there in Offnacloy. And I can say that we had almost 21 great years down there. God blessed us. And the congregation was multiplied and souls were saved. And, you know, those were 21 years of blessing, and God was with us. But then on the 27th of October 2018, God called me to the church in Melbourne. He showed me that I was to step down from the ministry in Offnacloy. And then at the end of October, he called me to the church here in Melbourne, where I'm recording this evening. And that is how the Lord has led me. Now, you ask, well, what about the ambitions that you had, Jeffrey, whenever you were young? What about those? Well, the Lord's no man's debtor. You see, he said, them that honour me, I will honour. And as I've already intimated, I wanted a wife, and the Lord gave me a wife to love, and to cherish, and to hold. A wife who has stood beside me through the difficult times, through the battles, through the struggles. She has stood there, she has supported me all the way, and still stands beside me. Whenever I went off McCloy, she says, Jeffrey, wherever the Lord calls you, I'll go. When it came to Malton, she says, Jeffrey, wherever the Lord calls you, I will go. And she has come with me, stayed with me through all the struggles, discouragements, and triumphs. Not only that, but the Lord blessed us with two daughters and then two sons. And then together we have five grandchildren and a young granddad and a young papa. But I have five beautiful grandchildren. At times we have said to one another, we may not be wealthy in this world's eyes, but the Lord has given us everything that we ever wanted and all that we really need and much more. And folks, I can say that throughout life, with all the struggles and the trials, the Lord has never failed. And at times the Lord provided for us in some of the most miraculous and wonderful ways that you could ever imagine. I haven't time. I wish I had more time this evening to tell you more about how good and how wonderful the Lord is. He says, I will supply all your need, and he really has. You know, as I've already intimated, it hasn't always been easy. The Lord says, in this world ye shall have tribulation. We're reminded of the word of God, that man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. But the Lord's grace is sufficient at all times, and his presence is always near. He's always at our right hand. You know, 3 weeks before Lorna and I were married, my sister Barbara, she was killed in a car accident. That was a trying time. But she's with the Lord, and we take comfort in that. But also, almost 23 years, about 23 years ago, I took unwell. And I was diagnosed with an illness known as systemic lupus erythematosus. Most people haven't really heard about it and know very little about it. But it is an incurable, life-limiting illness. But thankfully, I've been able to curtail it with medication. And the Lord has given me the strength to continue on in the ministry until this day, and I don't feel that I have to give up anything soon. Now, you may say, what is systemic lupus erythematosus, SLE? Well, how does it affect you? Well, with systemic lupus, it's an autoimmune disease, so I have to suppress the immune system, And so that means that I'm vulnerable to all the diseases that should be going. Thank God he's put a hedge about me. I don't often have colds and take the flu vaccine and never really have the flu. In the midst of this old coronavirus, I've had to shelter, but I've been busy. The Lord has opened other ways. Then because of medication, there's osteoporosis, and there's been a number of bones that have been broken in the body. I have 3 crushed vertebrae in the back. I've broken my ribs multiple times. I have broken my foot at times. And there's osteoporosis, and we have to deal with that. Bronchiolitis, problems with the lungs, pains in the muscles and the joints. And then it affects the kidneys, so there's kidney problems, and the focus of this left eye, it has been damaged as well. I do all the reading with one eye. I've had palpitations of the heart. There's vertigo, there's diverticulitis in the ball. There's an underactive thyroid, which causes tiredness. There's problems with the feet, and the body part has moved off the metatarsal heads. But one of the biggest problems is chronic fatigue. Just coming down upon you like a cloud, like a fog. And there's an extreme tiredness when all you can do is just lie down and take the breath. But thank God we're able to do that. Depression, it's always a threat as it is with nearly illness, any illness. But can I say this in closing? The Lord is good. He's so good, friends. He never fails. And he'll never forget us. The Lord knows all about our heartaches. He knows all about our disappointments, our sorrows, and our cares. He knows all about them. There's not a time that rends the heart, but the man of sorrow shares a part. And he's a comforter. Oh, he comes and he comforts us. There's not a trial that we go through, but the Lord's with us. When thou passest through the waters, I will go with thee, he says. Through the rivers, they'll not overflow thee. Through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will help thee. Yea, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art excellent, thou precious. You know, he gives us strength for each day according to the need. And one day when I see him, all my troubles, all my illnesses, all the sickness will be gone. Not like those who died without Christ. Their troubles will only be beginning. Oh, friend, let me recommend my Savior to you. It doesn't mean that it's a life that's free from problems, not at all. But it's a life of peace, pardon, assurance, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Let me recommend my Savior to you. And let me encourage you tonight, if you're not saved, turn away from your sin. Backslider, turn away from your sin. Folks, tonight, whatever the need of your heart is, you come to Christ. He'll forgive your sin. He'll save you. He'll restore you. But don't live for this world, folks. Don't live in second best. You can have something better than what you have, backslider. You can have something better than what you have on saved one. You don't need the cigarettes or the booze or the drugs if you're Christ. He said to this woman of the well of Samaria, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever shall drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. For the water that I shall give him shall be in him a fountain of living water springing up unto everlasting life. And I recommend my Savior to you tonight. Come and turn away from your sin and ask Christ to save you. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Let's just close with a wee word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I thank thee for all that thou hast done for me in my life. For saving me, Lord, for restoring me, for calling me into the ministry. For keeping me, Lord, and for blessing me with a wife and a family and all the temporal blessings of life that have given me to enjoy every day. And I pray, O God, that everyone that would listen to this word of testimony this evening might know my Savior, or that they might know thee as their Savior. So speak on, Lord, while this preacher is sent. He's begun, Lord, we pray and bless precious souls. Save the lost. Restore the backslider. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. And amen. God bless you again, folks. And thank you once again for tuning in and for listening to this preacher as we speak about our Savior. God bless you.